your body parts don't move in that song, you're dead.
You're dead, yeah.
You ain't got nothing. Speaking of that, I'm going to see Kool and the Gang again soon. A couple weeks. Yeah, down at Niagara Falls View Casino.
Nice.
And then Earth, Wind, and Fire up at Rama.
Oh, are you singing them in September?
Nice. Sometimes you do a funny, eh?
Once in a while. I've had enough liquor in me.
All right. Really? It's just weird.
Come on, hey, you got to like the song I chose,
it was a good song. Let's move on. Kevin Chandler is how you say his name. I didn't know how to say it. Kevin, why is there an A in your name? Seriously, no one spells their name Kevon. Who does that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just my parents' decision, and, I ran with it. I mean,
I wouldn't say that if I were you. That was good. Well, yeah. Kevin Chandler is an author. He's a speaker. He's an inspirational motivator. And the reason he's on the show today is, a guy I actually like and trust. He was a guest on the show recently, Wes Yoder. He said, you got to have Kevin on the show, man. Got to have Kevin. So I'm not sure Wes has ever actually asked me to have any. Like, I've gone to him and had tons of his guests, but he said, you got to have this guy on the show. So I was like, okay, let's do it. And I didn't know anything about you. And then I looked into you, and I went, whew, wow, that was a good one. I'm glad we said yes. So thanks for joining us. What are you doing today, man? What did we take you away from, Kevin?
Oh, man, nothing at the moment. Having a birthday party tonight for a friend, but otherwise just enjoying the sunny weather and having a good day.
Okay, I'm going to read your brief bio, give the setup to everybody here, and then we're going to get into some awkward questions from Drew Marshall. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin Chandler grew up in the foothills of North Carolina. First question, do you play the banjo?
If both arms worked, I probably would.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so glad I asked that question. With his parents and two siblings, the youngest of the bunch, so that comes to the second question, are you a spoiled brat?
Yes, okay. I definitely am.
Wow. Okay, good. He was the second to be diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy, a rare neuromuscular disease. So are you saying that one of your other siblings has the same stinking thing?
Yeah, my sister does as well. She was born 3 years before me, and when the doctors diagnosed her, they told my parents that if they had more kids, it would probably be the same story, and suggested on that they not. And my parents decided that they were just going to trust God, and if the worst that could happen is that they had another child like Connie, they were okay with that. So
wow,
I came along a couple years later.
So what do you say to people who would push back on that and go, okay, the doctors told them and they went ahead and had you, and that's not cool, that's not fair, you know what I mean? What do you say to people who say that?
I'm really thankful that they didn't listen to the doctors, because I wouldn't be here, but then also, you know, a lot of that is doctors will say that because, oh, they won't have a full life, or your life will be difficult, or, you know, various reasons in that regard. But our family has lived a rich life together, and I'm just really thankful for it. So,
because this is a radio interview, people can't see your body, and so you've got a very interesting body shape and size and everything. So how do you describe, let's pretend you're writing out what you look like on your dating profile on Christian Mingle. What do you write out?
Oh, that's easy. It's if you're into ET, then we'll probably get along.
Are you kidding me?
It's not that extreme, but no. I'm short and scrawny, and I have one arm that kind of works, and in a wheelchair pretty much all the time, unless my friends are carrying me around.
So how tall, if you were to stand up, you know, you can't stand up, so if someone was to stand you up, how tall would you be?
Probably about 5 foot, maybe a little bit more.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Bachelor's of Arts degree in counseling from John Wesley College. So, why counseling?
Before I pursued that degree, I was studying recording engineering for music and podcasts and radio and all that good stuff. And I really enjoyed that, but just kind of at some point in there, it got to be, well, I've always hated school. And so school got harder and harder. And I thought, I don't really want to spend my time on this. And what would I suffer through school for? And I realized I just wanted to help people. And so I pursued a counseling degree with actually a focus in prison ministry. So I spent a few years working at a few prisons around the states, and also some drug rehabs, and just did counseling, spent time with guys, and heard their stories, and talked through some issues with them, and it was great.
You know, I'm thinking about you being a shrink or being a counselor, or being a listener, you know, and there's something about, I don't know how to say this without, I'm going to say it. Because you look the way you do, because you're in a wheelchair, you know, you have like a zero threat thing with macho prison dudes. Like, they're not going to, you know what I mean? Like, you're not, what am I trying to say?
I was actually going to ask him.
I think it'd be perfect doing this.
Yes, well, there's definitely that aspect, but I'd be interested to know, because of what you have to endure day by day by day, you might have extra cred for people saying, how do I deal with problems?
Right. What he said is smarter than what I was going to say.
You did all right. Don't worry about it. I've always kind of seen it as an opportunity to, I guess, be a bit disarming. That, you know, a guy in prison will come in to see his counselor, and I'm sitting there, and they're like, oh, this is different. Mm-hmm. So it kind of is unsettling in a good way. Yeah. Kind of shakes things up. But also, and this is something I didn't realize at first, but after a while of working in the prison, my mentor at the time pointed out to me that these guys are, when they're looking at me, they're physically seeing what's going on inside of them, which is limitations and kind of bonds that they want to break through, spiritually and emotionally. And they see how limited I am, but the fact that I am pushing through and living a life to the fullest. And so I think that that helps, and has definitely come through in a lot of conversations. And so,
what, again, I struggle because I don't know how to word this, but so let me say it as abrasively as I can, and then we'll try to fix it afterwards. We'll fix it in post. So, you wouldn't be on the show today if you didn't have this disease. You'd be just another dude.
Mm.
What does that feel like?
Well, I would hope I was doing something else with my life that would end me up on a show like this, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, because I guess. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I guess for me, a lot of life is not necessarily looking at what could be if I had this or this, but or didn't have, you know, my disability, but just looking at what I have and working with that. So
you can't say the word disability. That's offensive.
Well, I'm probably going to say it again. So.
Because he's dissing ability.
Oh, he's dissing ability. Oh. That's good there, Tim.
Boom.
Says the awkward middle-aged white guy.
Yeah. Brat, brat.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Well,
buckle
I remember
yourself in, kids.
I remember the first year.
Hold on. Let me put my seatbelt back on.
The first year I did the show, I met a guy. I'm friends with a guy named Rick Warren. He wrote Purpose Driven Life, Saddleback Church, and pals with he and his wife. And I was down there visiting them one time, and I met this guy in a wheelchair. And I thought, oh, this is such an interesting guy. I'd like to have him on the show. So I had him on the show as a guest. And I asked him the question that I think people would think but don't want to ask. And so I'm going to ask you your love life and dating. Like, I don't know if you're married or dating. And you know, obviously the way – Your disability plays a role in all of this, and I don't even know what the question is, other than that's, you know, people think that. So help us help us dopey outsiders understand your world when it comes to relationships.
Well, I mean, that's not to be the pitch guy, but that's kind of what the book is about, you know, and the sense of the book is called We Carry Kevin. It's about an adventure some friends and I took a few years ago to Europe, where we left my wheelchair behind and went where they carried me in a backpack. But all that to say, you know, life is full and rich because of the people around me and because of my relationship with Jesus. And excuse me. And so it's because of those things, you know, the friendships that I have and the family that I have that really make it worthwhile. And there's a verse in Romans where Paul talks about how our adoption as sons and daughters of God is the redemption of our bodies. And so it's about a lot more than just what's going on physically, you know, but yeah. It's more of what's going on in the heart and what's going on around us with relationships. As far as, you know, romance and dating and marriage, I am not an expert on that. I'm about as single as the day I was born. And so I'll call you back when that changes. But for now, yeah, it's just me and my friends.
Okay. Does that suck? Is it lonely? Would you like to have a special someone?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Definitely.
No, of course, because, I mean, some people have... My voice got really high there.
It's okay. I like the question.
Because I remember asking somebody once about the single thing, and it's funny. Sometimes I'll ask single people about being single, and they'll go, What's wrong with being single? I love being single. And they get all defensive about being single, which tells me that they're not okay with being single. So, anyway.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, they're just trying to convince themselves.
Exactly.
In that conversation. But, I would like to be in a relationship one day, you know, with a girl, and I'm just trying to trust in the Lord to see that through. But it definitely gets lonely, you know? And I think, you know, I could just go on all day about, oh yeah, but I do have these friends, or I do have this family, or I do stay busy. But then, you know, at the end of the day, there is something to be said about not just having someone beside you to go through life with, but someone that sees you for who you are, and for me, that includes all my weaknesses and limitations, and still loves me to that extent, because that is a kind of love that, you know, your dudes can't really can't really fulfill, I guess you could say.
Sure.
So yeah, I'd like that one day.
Well, let's work on that. So. Give out your phone number. No, I'm just kidding.
Call
won't do that.
Right. Call the
I like long walks on the beach.
Pina coladas.
right. Getting lost in the rain.
There we go. All right, dude. Let's talk about summer of 2016. So for me, summer of 2016, I was getting ready to go on my own little travel. I went over to Europe, and I ended up walking 1,000 kilometers on the Camino de Santiago. How many times have I said that, Tim?
I've lost count.
I know. So, you know, it was a big walk. I did it in silence, and it was really great. It's amazing how many friends I made when I didn't talk. It was just phenomenal. But you and your boys took off across Europe, and you left your wheelchair at home. Are you nuts?
Some would say so, and I was thinking so at the time too. Like, is this really a good idea? It doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway.
So, tell me about the genesis of this idea.
Oh well, that's when you realize how nuts we really are, because it started back home in North Carolina. We had this crazy idea that we wanted to explore the sewers because we grew up on Ninja Turtles and Batman. And we just thought that sounded like a great idea.
Okay.
So, but, of course, sewers are not wheelchair accessible. And so we put together this really, really sketchy backpack. It was like a backpacking frame, like a metal one. And then we laid me on it and just wrapped me in hammocks. basically just cocooned me in. And we spent an evening exploring the sewers, and we came out of that and said, okay, well, we survived that, so obviously this works. What do we do next? And about a year later, I called the guys up and said, well, I've been thinking. I've always wanted to go to Europe. I have a lot of roots, I guess you could say, in Europe, all over Europe. And so what if we do that? Because a lot of things I want to do there are not going to be accessible either. So I remember specifically writing one of the guys and saying, remember that time we went in the sewers? What if we did that for 3 weeks in Europe above ground? And kind of clarified above ground. And he said, well, we could go in the sewers of Paris. I thought, well, maybe the next visit. We'll see. But that's kind of where it came from. And it started with two or three guys, and we built it up from there to the team that we felt like we needed.
Kevin Chandler's on the line with us. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's an inspirational motivator. Kevin, let me ask you. Oh, wait, you still there, Kevin?
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm here. I was going to add to that and say I was listening to your segment right before this, and I was going to add that I'm also a big Cheers fan.
Nice.
There you go.
That was a great show.
Yeah.
Named it in the one note? Did you name it, get it right
you
away?
You could have got it in one note, right, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. It's I watched it on Netflix, and, you know, you can skip the intros. And I have to skip it really fast because otherwise I just end up leaving it on and singing the whole thing.
I know.
Having a good time.
It's a real schmaltzy earworm.
It is.
Okay, so have you met any people that have the same kind of physical disabilities as you that are not motivational and inspirational? They're just sacks of coal waiting to die. You know what I mean? They just like, man, they're negative, and they're just country music or walking country music songs, and they're just bitter. Or is everyone who has your, including your sister, who has the same disease as you, spinal muscular atrophy, a rare neuromuscular disease, is everybody bright and cheery and motivational like you?
Well, I'll tell you, they're not a walking country song.
Maybe
a
walking song.
Oh, sorry, that was a cheap one.
I shouldn't have
gone that route.
Wow.
This is the show to do it on.
It's low-hanging fruit right
yep,
there.
You it is. Gotta, well, yeah. Everything's low-hanging. Never mind.
No. You know, over the past couple of years, since we got back from the trip, I've done a lot of traveling and speaking, and also just like meeting with families and chatting. And I would say there are definitely a lot of people with spinal muscular atrophy, which I'm just going to call SMA from now on. But there are a lot of people with SMA that do really struggle with depression. They struggle with really getting out and doing things because something I realized, I was talking with someone recently about the friends that I have in the community that I'm surrounded by, and they said, yeah, but did you always have that? And I realized that, no, I had to take some risks, and I had to go out and meet people and be around people, and that was uncomfortable. But then it leads to getting to know people and being seen and all of that. And so I think a lot of young adults, especially, you know, have lived a life of just being cared for by their parents, and some have dropped out of school and just taken classes online, and, you know, so they kind of stay sequestered in their home, in their comfortable spot, and then they wonder why they don't have friends, or why they don't have a community, and they wonder how they can get that. And it's like, all right, well, just find a coffee shop and go hang out for a couple hours and kind of go from there. Just get to know people.
That's dude, that's huge.
Yeah. And it's the small decisions that are still uncomfortable, but they're small, and you build up to having a community and having people around you. And so, yeah, I've seen a lot of people that really struggle with depression and struggle with having people around them. But that's kind of why we're doing what we're doing with the nonprofit and introducing that idea of breaking that mold.
Good for you, man. Okay, the nonprofit, the website is wecarrykevin.com, and it's K-E-V, K-E-V-A-N, WeCarryKevin.com. Kevin, this docu-travel adventure that you and your posse went on, your posse, that you and your peeps went on, whatever, I want you to try to do something here. I want to hear about two highlights, one hilarious one and one I can't believe we did that one. Now, they can't be the same. But I want you to try to, because I want to tease people into going and watching this thing. So I want a one sentence on both of those. And we're in each sentence is going to start with, you remember that one time? Okay, you ready? You ready?
Wait, let me get this right. Yep. One sentence for each.
Yep.
Starting with you remember that one time?
Yeah.
I need to warn you, I write books, so I'm used to saying a lot of words.
Yep.
So these might be really long sentences. We'll see.
No, I want you to tease people into it. Like, for example, I'm going to start with mine. This one time at boarding school, it burned down. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I'm allowed to say legally, but yeah. Okay,
right,
go.
You're involved? No. Okay.
Okay, so the first one, and it's going to be the, what did I say, embarrassing? Was that one of the first ones? Or hilarious, hilarious.
A hilarious one. Oh, man.
One sentence, dude.
You remember that one time we got lost in a rave in Paris?
No way. No. This is on film? Because I haven't seen the whole thing. I've just seen clips.
It actually, oh, you know what? That doesn't show up in the documentary, but it does in the book.
Oh, so funny. Yeah. Don't say anything else. Yeah. Don't say, that's all, that you just, no, see, that's a hook. That's a hook right there. Yeah.
There it is.
Okay, all right.
And then the other one, the I can't believe we did this.
Yeah, that one time.
Okay. So that one time, I'm going to start over. That one time I broke my nose and we didn't go home.
Did you get? See, now I got all these questions. No, I'm not gonna ask. I'm not gonna ask.
That one is in the documentary in the film. So.
I hope you weren't in the backpack on one of your buddies, like when they were carrying you in the backpack, and they walked through a doorway, and they were tall enough, but you were too tall. I hope it wasn't that.
That happened a few times, but no, it wasn't that. So. Holy God. We did learn very quickly on the trip that we had to duck to get into the metro cars. So good.
Well, WeCarryKevin.com is the website. We Carry, and Kevin is spelled with an E, K-E-V-A-N, WeCarryKevin.com. Kevin Chandler is who we've been chatting with. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's an inspirational motivator. He's a pretty stinking funny guy. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for being part of our show today, man. It was really, actually, very, actually, that didn't sound right.
Actually, it didn't.
No. I didn't expect it to be.
I know. I'm not the best with compliments.
No, it's been fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. I really appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
All right, bye. All right,
bye-bye. Bye. Kevin Chandler on the Drew Marshall Show. I like that guy.
Actually, I have a friend whose daughter has SMA. So this is really interesting for me, yeah.
Huh. Very cool.
And you know, I didn't ask him. I didn't ask Kevin. I'm assuming part of the process, and he alluded to it with the idea of community. But I know with my friend, she and her husband are like so amazing with how they are dealing with this and how they treat their child and everything that they do. And the young lady is really well adapted. And she's got a younger brother who is fierce for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've got these.
Did they stop having kids after her, though?
No, they had their daughter,
and
then they had the son.
Oh, okay.
Even though they knew, and that's why it kind of tweaked with me. You know, because they did take a big risk, and I know that you know, they've changed their house. They've got, you know, special kind of wheelchairs. They got a therapy dog. Like, they're going all out, and so. I just, this interview actually hit home for me.
Good.
In a really interesting way.
Good.